okay with Ethan Connect. We've shown a few, he's back again on the podcast. We've shown a few of his films already, all documentaries, different tones. Bodas Roy was a very serious family drama. Styrofoam Human Wrapped Skull is kind of like a fun little trip to the dollar store with an environmental thematic to it. How I Learned to Google Myself, I Famous Adjacent is more about your own narcissism. Yeah. And I'm kidding. And Jesus Is Abs, let's talk about Jesus Is Abs, which is like a really kind of catchy title. It's like as soon as anybody sees that that title, you're going to offend some people, correct? With that title?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And I think I'm trying to hold the line there. I mean, it's certainly, it's something that
won't offend me, by the way. I'm saying a certain population that gets very serious about making fun of Jesus.
Yeah, I think that is a little bit of the point of the whole thing to some degree, which is not to like fully go out there. And I think some people go hard and in their it offending, you know, believers in that kind of way. And I didn't want to do that. You know, I think I empathize with those individuals quite a bit. But it's I think the theme of it is just finding some levity something that's taken very, very seriously and has a lot of political implications, you know, especially on LGBTQ communities, et cetera. So I touched on that briefly, but so I think that was kind of the whole idea. It was like to bring levity to, you know, middle-age dad bod Jesus mix of humor.
So I totally understand. So it's like you're kind of towing that line where like you're kind of making a commentary, but you're not trying to offend anybody, I guess, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to offend people.
Gotcha.
Also, not go too hard. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so the film starts with like a dad bod bared midriff, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And whose bare midriff did you shoot for the
That's mine. Yeah, mine. I went. Yeah. So
and then you kind of cut to the Sunday Mass. Was that a real Sunday Mass that you cut to?
It was. Yeah. I had to take I brought my daughter, my youngest daughter. We drove 2 hours to the church that I had grown up in, and I was able to get like most of the Mass from the live stream that they now just kind of produce and send out there. But I, we filmed Jesus's abs very, very quickly and, you know, kind of behind the scenes before the Mass had started.
I remember attempting to shoot in a Catholic church and they don't allow it. They're very serious about like, no cameras. Maybe that was back in the day. It could be different now.
Yeah, we did it, you know, incognito very quickly. Yeah.
I assumed.
Yeah. So it worked out. And having my daughter there was a helpful cover because it was just, it looked like a dad just bringing his daughter to church and like trying to take photos of her. And then I just kind of panned up to get the Jesus shot that I needed.
the pan of the Jesus. And basically the story is that basically, first of all, he's white. He shouldn't even be white, I guess, if you're being historically accurate, right? Jesus?
Sure. Yeah.
So we're kind of pimping him up to, we're putting him on a pedestal to basically be someone that he's like historically is not, I guess, right?
And this one's particularly Aryan. You know, my grandmother growing up was just always like, that is a real Nordic Jesus.
which is not like real.
Not real. That's not real.
I don't think the humans have ventured to the Nordic region until maybe 1,000 years later, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But that's part of what you're kind of trying to say. So speaking of the Catholic Church, it looked like that they need some business because it seemed pretty sparse there.
It seems sparse. I think, I think they need to broaden their base a little bit. I'll just put that lightly. I think that they're really honing in. But it was interesting. It was a weird feeling going back to that church that I'd grown up in and to bring my daughter there and to be in that space was very weird. It would, like I say it in the film, but it was oddly comforting. Like I felt, I don't, I'm an atheist, but I felt a pull when I was there to like be a part of this kind of community, to like, I like have that kind of ritual that I don't have in my life.
You're an altar boy, right? Or were you?
Like, I was, yeah, I was an altar boy. Yeah. Yeah.
In the video, there's like a nice little montage of you in your little garb. And there's a shot where like, it's almost like you're in handcuffs.
Yeah, because we were doing the Stations of the Cross, so it was like Jesus is like, you know, arrested or whatever, he's taken over and he's being brought over. But yeah, and I was very dramatic.
And then there's a shot of you playing Jesus, I guess, on the cross, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And you're showing your abs in that. How old were you?
Yeah, I was. I think we calculated I was 12 or 13.
Gotcha.
So, yeah,
that's pretty revealing for a 12 and 13 year old.
It was. I mean, there were fewer people at that performance than at Mass the last Sunday. I think there were like three people there. But yeah, it was a weird thing to do. And I think that those kinds of moments stuck with me for a while. I have been trying to do, I've been doing like a little bit of stand-up comedy. And the very first time that I went to do stand-up comedy, it was right before, this was like 4 or 5 years ago, and it was right before Easter. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this whole bit about the sexy Jesus that was at my church. And it bombed totally. And I think that some aspect of turning this into a film, even though that had bombed, was to kind of think about, you know, redeeming that story to some degree. And I think part of it lived in my head, which was just like, if only people saw how sexy this Jesus actually was, this would be fun. You know, it's hard to portray. Sorry, what?
But it's also the audience. It's where you're kind of making that joke, I guess, right?
I think so, for sure. Yeah. And I think there was something about trying to portray how, like, I couldn't do it in words, you know, and that using a visual medium to try to kind of bring that in. I was like, I think this can work in that way.
You can do like a visual stand-up routine where you have like the pictures in the background.
That's kind of what I was, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I was trying to do with this film to some degree, yeah. Yeah.
So you talk about, we just had WrestleMania, as we're doing this podcast. We're between WrestleMania and Good Friday and the Easter weekend. So it's kind of ties into your film. Both regards, I guess, right?
Yeah, good timing.
Yeah, good timing. So you had the Ultimate Warrior, I guess. He was one of your kind of quote unquote heroes growing up.
He was, yeah. I mean, and there was certainly something to this. I mean, I really would every Sunday watch the Ultimate Warrior and all these jacked guys with these crazy bodies. And then I would go to church and there was this like 12-foot Jesus statue
body image, similar body.
And it was, you know, it was like, yeah. You know, I don't know. Yeah, it certainly did something to my brain. Not much. I don't think I'm super scarred, but there's something interesting going on with that and the kind of images. I think the 90s were particularly like very solid. They were just like hammering home all the time what kind of body everyone was supposed to have.
So yeah. Obviously the obvious is that for men, it's a lot easier than it is woman.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because we come from the 80s where, like, you're born in the 80s, but we come from the 80s where, like, it was like the Jane Fonda workouts. It was about,
yeah,
like gyms were becoming popular, like Schwarzenegger, Stallone, all those guys were jacked up in the movies, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, all the women were, like, basically, you know, they were anorexic, let's just be honest here. And then the 90s came around, and then basically it kind of exploded that kind of craze of like body image and fitness and steroids and HGH.
Yeah, and Baywatch and all of that. No, for sure. I don't know. I think part of the idea too came from like, you know, having that instilled in me and then getting a little older. I think I was like hitting my 30s. I gained a bunch of weight and then I kept trying to find ways to like lose weight. It was like it's just an interesting thing because it's like, are you doing this for health? Are you doing this for, like, there are a lot of reasons that you would work out, but I was doing a lot of those Sean T insanity workouts in my basement and it just felt so silly. Like I would go down, I would wake up at 6 a.m and go into my basement to jump around like a frog, you know, and, like alone, and I was just like, I feel like there's something there too that we should explore.
Yeah, no, because you're hitting on something that's even like even today, right? Like it's like we're the generation coming up with the social media and like you go on Instagram, it's just bikinis and dogs, right? Like it's the body image is there. Then now there's that drug where like women take that or even men take that basically that it's supposed to be for diabetes, but they're taking like to lose weight and it's crazy, right?
That's a lot. I mean, there's a lot that's all in there. And just to kind of unpack it, you know, I think the journey in this film is like, yeah, going from a place of being more self-conscious and then trying to like grow to acceptance, which I think, you know, whatever, that's a typical arc of anything. But I think, yeah, there's a lot to unpack with that. You know, a lot of people spent a lot of time in the pandemic, like trying to work out in their basements and Peloton and all this stuff. And there is something deeply, I think, silly about that. I think there's something deeply silly about working out in your house. There's something deeply silly about Catholicism. And I tried to
Tie them together,
bridge the gap.
Something, yeah, there is, but yeah, I guess it's about balance. It's like it's almost it's superficial, basically. Like if I'm from my perspective watching your film, it was funny. There's a super like we all need a spiritual kind of element. It's not organized religion. It's something that we believe in to kind of function in life. It's like it's part of our identity, whatever it is, right? Everybody do each their own. Mine's baseball, other people's different things. But we also need the physical. We also need to take care of ourselves on a physical level. So spiritual, physical, we need that. And then basically what you're saying is that we've kind of artificially kind of like made we're kind of like doing a goofy version of those two elements, I guess, that we need.
Sure. Or there's like, yeah, a very traditional approach to either of those things that has a lot that's kind of problematic in some ways.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to say. It's like, like those are though they're advertised, they're capitalistic, they're mass produced, like Agatha, like religion, organized religion is mass produced. They're advertising that concept for spirituality, right?
No, I mean, and then it's for profit. You know, all of them are for profit. Like everyone's trying
And they
to.
don't pay taxes, yeah, but.
Yeah, and there's some aspect of that where I mean, they're asking for money. They have a huge, you know, I mean, you know, there's some aspect of both of those things that feel like they should be natural. Like working out. Like I spent a lot of time. I just ran in the woods a lot during the pandemic, and I was like, this is free, pretty much. Like I bought some sneakers, you know, and it was like, you know, there was something that just felt very natural about that. I just feel like there are these impulses that we have. We want some spiritual aspect. We want some community aspect. We should be moving and exercising and doing that in some way. But then there are all these forces that know that and then try to capitalize on
That's
them.
basically, yeah. That's basically what you just like what that's what your film is all about. And it's using Jesus's abs as a metaphor where like it's combining that aspect. It's like he's godly, right? Like the ultimate warrior. He's supposed to be a bad wrestler, but people liked him, but because he had that, like he was crazy. He's a crazy guy. Like I know he's passed away, but he was crazy. And he and like from the human standpoint, but he had that godlike kind of presence, right? And basically, and if you in order to just to touch on the Ultimate Warrior is that this was his life though. He would obsess on his body, right? Like he could like nothing else in his world he could do except for obsess on his body. And then that's what we're looking up at Jesus and saying it's unattainable. That's basically the point, right? If we want some sort of life, we
Yeah,
can't.
or I don't know, or yeah, I mean, like that's like on either end of that spectrum, right? Like you don't want to be just sitting in your room alone, like not work moving at all, you know. I mean, and then there's like this body obsessed thing, but I don't know. I think, yeah, I mean, we're getting very serious about Jesus's abs, which I like. I like that balance, but it's also like I like that tension there, but it's, yeah, I mean, I think it's the message is trying to like carve out your own experience, something that might work for you that may be better, or some kind of resolve that might be better than following into any of these other
I apologize.
philosophies.
I got a little serious there. You touched the nerve, so.
No, it's all right. I mean, it's underlying there, but you know, it's also Jesus' abs. We could laugh about it. I don't know.
Yeah. So I want to touch about like your other I liked your the other films, the especially the Google, how I learned to Google myself, because everybody does that, right? And you're kind of like, I guess like what I remember about your film is that you're obsessing that there's another version of you, I guess, right? There's another Ethan,
Ethan.
basically. And
Exactly.
you want to be the top Google Ethan, I guess, right?
I mean, it's hard. It was a hard moment. I actually did go on there and I Googled, you know, myself, you know, as people tend to do. And then, I wasn't on the first page or two. And this young kid coming out of Georgetown was beating me in every way. What's interesting, if you do it now, is that film, famous adjacent Google, like Googling yourself, the kind of popularity of that film pushed him out, which is kind of funny. So the film about it's gotten very meta. The film about Googling myself has actually beat out the other Ethan Connect, but I interviewed him in my film, and he's been very supportive of all this, and he's a very sweet man.
Yeah, I interviewed him too. He's very upset that you're trumping him on the Google page. So
Oh
I see.
no.
I just Google your name and like he's number one on LinkedIn, and then
Oh
There's
no.
an Instagram, which I'm assuming it's you, and then your IMDb, and then your
Okay.
interview with us, but it's
Okay.
also my Google, right? And then
Okay, yeah, good.
basically, and then your film itself, I guess, right? On YouTube, and then there's a
I
team.
haven't done it for a while. He's beating me on LinkedIn. Oh man.
Yeah, he's
Okay.
beating you. Then you got the festivals that you're the couple festivals that your film played at, and then
Yeah.
there's an Ethan teaching resources,
Yeah,
pay
that's me too. That's me.
teachers pay teachers. Is that you?
Yeah,
So
that's me.
you're doing well.
Thanks.
So
Let's just
you beat
do
him.
that. Let's just do that once a year. Let's just do a temperature check where we'll Google myself together.
Yeah. But now my ego is like, so the Wild Sound, the film that is on Wild Sound, the trailer,
Yeah.
that's the second page. So I gotta get
Oh,
that. I gotta
okay.
get that to the first. Your when I someone
Okay.
Googles your name, I gotta get to that to the first page.
Okay, sounds good.
So I have a horse in the race now.
Good, good.
And then your other film, Styrofoam Human Skull Wrapped in Plastic, was that like a, let me I'm curious about that film, because basically it's almost like a spontaneous documentary that you made, which tone-wise, which is amazing. You went to the dollar store for your daughter's birthday, pick up some stuff, and then you saw the mask,
Yeah.
sorry, the human skull, and you're kind of showing that this is going to be around lo a lot longer than us because of its contents. Was that a spontaneous documentary you made, or is that something you thought about for a while?
Yeah, no, yeah, very spontaneous documentary for sure. Yeah, I was just in there. I had been, I don't know, like making these films that there's some kind of weird seasonal momentum flow to these kinds of things. And so I was like deep in the editing process of Jesus's Abs and filming that a lot. And so I was just in that kind of mindset. And then my wife and I went to the dollar store, and I was just like, oh God, this skull. And yeah, I just had her film me on my phone in the dollar store, and it was just a very quick kind of thing, but just wanted to play on that. I was like, I feel like there's an idea here.
Yeah.
Takes
So
like
and then you
five
went to the
minutes.
dump, and then you kind of like showed that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was just
Stock
stock footage of going to
footage
the
of the dump. Yeah.
dump.
You didn't physically go because it's disgusting.
No.
You found stock footage. Yeah. So
very quick. Yeah.
what are you working on now? Are you working on another film now?
Yeah, so working through it, so kind of a combination. We talked about like the balance of I'm trying to balance these tones out. I'm gonna do a documentary about taking we have the tickets already. I'm taking my daughters to Disney World, and I want to make a black and white horror documentary about that experience, about how terrifying it is to take your family to Disney World, because it's so stressful, and just all of the aspects of that. And also, there is a true family story that's tied to that, which is my father had a lot of you know, mental difficulties. He was bipolar, and he had one of his first like real breakdowns in Disney World when I was in second grade with my family. So just kind of wanted to play on that kind of tonally.
Have you been back since?
I have been back since, but not as like a father with my daughters. Yeah, you know?
This is the Orlando one, right? Disney World.
Yeah.
And then Disneyland's in LA or like, so this is my first thought. This is just my mental state is that, because it's expensive because I got kids and we're like, my wife and I were thinking about. So that's like a write off. You can write off the whole trip.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Oh, that's a great idea. No, thank you for that.
So basically, so the whole trip, whatever, like, because it's thousands of dollars. It's expensive to go there, right?
It really is. Yeah, it's very expensive. We were camping. We're not even going to stay in the park. Yeah. But I think that adds to it. I kind of want to go through certain elements of that and kind of like a little bit, not like I took on the Catholic Church with Jesus's abs, but, you know, kind of poking at it. I'd like to poke at Disney World and what that is and, you know, kind of how pervasive it is and that it is this like mecca. Like you have to everyone has to bring their family there. You have to prove that you can do that. It adds a lot of pressure to the whole situation. And I'd like to kind of explore that a little bit. And there was this B movie called Escape from Tomorrow. I don't know if you ever saw this, but they kind of guerrilla shot this thing in Disney World. It was like not with Disney's permission or anything, and it played Sundance. It was actually like kind of a terrible movie in the end, but it was about this father going insane in Disney World. And so what I want to do is like kind of play on my actual family story. This kind of fictional element of me becoming obsessed with that film and trying to recreate some aspect of that that's better, and then kind of play with the different themes that go on with that.
Gotcha. I love it. Yeah. Because it's like we all know Disney, obviously, right? We all know the Catholic Church. So it's like something that's I'm assuming you have the app because your children watch Disney movies and.
Right? Yeah, they're tracking my whole life. They have everything about they know everything.
They know everything about you. But it's like one of those things where like your kids go to school, their friends are watching whatever Disney show.
Yeah.
And then the order for them to kind of fit in, you have to like have the app, right? And then give them what $12 a month, right? So whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And then all the stuff like they have to dress up like Elsa and Anna always and
Elsa and Anna. Yeah.
So, you know.
Repeated views, those movies. My kids have watched The Incredibles like 10 times over. They did the Frozen thing, right? For like, you know, for like 10 straight weeks. Now they're on The Incredibles for 10 straight weeks.
Yeah, nice.
No, it's part of our culture, right? I love it. I love the idea. So I can't wait to see that film. Let's talk when that film is done. And thanks for your candor. I appreciate it. Sorry if I got serious about Jesus's abs, but I think you're on the
same. No, it's good. No, yeah.
No, there's a big story. If you ever, I know you're a busy guy, but it's like there's a deep story there about like there's a whole feature film about the Jesus's abs. He's thinking.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, maybe we'll turn this into a feature.
Yeah,
it'll answer the question: how much Jesus's abs?
No, obviously it's a metaphor, right? For like the craziness the society that we live in. All right, man. Thank you so much for your time. Let's talk again for the third time, maybe later this year.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.